You are listening to episode 138 of the Walking Leader Podcast. This is the Walking Leader Podcast, episode number 138. I'm your host, David Guerra, author of The Walking Leader and Great to Follow. In this episode, I continue with part 9 of the Learning Those Soft Skills podcast series. This is the 9th of a 12-part series on soft skills. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about the soft skill of work ethic. Well, first off, let's get the definition under control. Work ethic is defined as the principle that hard work is intrinsically virtuous or worthy of reward. Reward. Interesting. Intrinsically virtuous. And that is true. But worthy of reward, I don't know. You know, because again, you should be doing it not for the reward. You should be doing it because you believe in it. You believe in what you're doing and you see the value in it. So it's kind of interesting. Now, see a definition I got online, and so you Google, you know, define work ethic. This is the definition, and I like it, and I'm going to work with it. So let's work with it. So let's dive in. The topresume.com website talks about strong work ethic in their article, The 6 Soft Skills Employers Are Looking For. Now, work ethic. Right off the bat, it tells you, you didn't learn this in school. You don't learn it. This is kind of an observed skill. It's learned, it's passed on from parent to child and so on and so on. It's either a part of your DNA or your parents taught it to you. And that's kind of, it gets ingrained, it gets embedded, it gets impressed. The impression on your DNA is left there. So these examples of soft skills are, and the ones we've had so far, are seemingly simple things like being punctual, getting things done on time, and understanding that a job might be more than punching in and punching out. Employers struggle to find employees who make work a high priority. It doesn't mean that you have to give up your home life for the sake of work. And folks, you're going to get that. Understand, here's where it comes from in the job interview. Tell us your take on work-life balance. And this is where it's going. It's talking about the work ethic. Sure, you believe in work. You have to do the work. But there also has to be a balance. So again, what's through work ethic? Is your work ethic, well, I'm going to give you 23 hours out of the day. I just need time to go home, shower, and start all over again. That's not work-life balance. And folks, there never will be a work-life balance. Something will always be out of balance. Something's always got to give. There's going to be some days that your home life has to take priority over work. Kids are sick. Kids need you to do something at school. See where I'm going with that? And then there's stuff at work that will take over. I got to stay late because we have a report due at the end of the year, at the end of the month, at the end of the week. And we have to address this. Excuse me. So that's what happens. So there never is going to be a balance. But however, your work ethic, if you're working with it and you're dealing with it and you're adjusting and you're fighting through it, then your work ethic becomes who you are and it defines you. So they see that your work-life balance is going to be constantly out of balance because it doesn't mean you can never have balance in work-life. What it does mean is that you're working for it. And there, right there, shows your work ethic, that you're going to fight no matter what to get it under control, or you're going to get some kind of stability, maybe temporary, maybe semi-permanent, but it will never be permanent. Now, so how do you show your work ethic? Well, you take your career seriously and do what it takes to get the job done right off the bat. That's why you want to work. Now, sometimes that can mean doing jobs that seem beneath your experience. And yes, somebody has to take out the trash. It's not beneath you. Somebody has to, you know what, clean the windows. Somebody has to, you know, use the paper towels to wipe off the sink in the restroom because someone doesn't know any better. Now, moving on with the article. If you can display examples of a great work ethic in your resume, your cover letter, or your interview, you can have a great start. Folks, that's true. So when you're interviewing, they're going to ask you about work-life balance, and that's what we're talking about, your work ethic. So be careful, catch it, and understand that this is what they're talking about. Now, there's also another article, The 5 Factors That Demonstrate a Strong Work Ethic, and it's from the Houston Chronicle website. Great article. It lists 5 factors as key to having and demonstrating a strong work ethic. And those 5 things are, I'm going to kind of break them down slowly. It's always behave professionally. Folks, again, the day is going to be different every single day, even though the job you might do or are doing is going to be the same every day. But the interactions, the actions, the observations, what you see, who you deal with is going to be different every day. Some days there's going to be great people you're working with, and the next day someone's coming in with a chip on their shoulder, an agenda, a hidden agenda. Typically it's a hidden agenda. They already know what's going on and they already know where to dissect it. They already see the flaws and they already come prepared to just drop them on you. And what do? Well, you have to behave professionally. You can only tell them, sir, ma'am, this is all I have to work with. If there's something different, then please let me know. Don't just blindside me with this. Share it with me. Don't justify your job in destroying my job. See what's going on? You have to be courteous to one another. You don't take... Whoa. I don't know what the heck that's all about. Whoa, where'd that come from? Something must have popped up. Had to have popped up. Okay, so, back. Sorry about that. There we go. Now, so, understand that courtesy goes a long way, and you have to ensure that you're communicating with everyone. That's another way of behaving professionally. So if something goes wrong, something goes south, something goes sour, you have to communicate that. You have to share that. You have to ensure that everyone understands that, hey, look, here's what I had. Here's what happened. How do we work it together? How do we resolve this issue? See, work ethics set the tone to developing habits that you needed to be professional and consistent all day long. So, again, developing those work ethics, communicating, being professional, being productive, or the next one is organization and high productivity. Quote, employees with strong work ethics tend to follow or develop daily tasks. They are often ordered and organized so that she knows she is able to devote a required time to any one task. She might organize her day in blocks. For example, the first 2 hours might be to respond to customer calls and new orders. Then the next 2 hours might be devoted to sales calls. She could then use the afternoon to prepare new proposals and do administrative work that is required, so her desk is cleared before she leaves for the night. Having a routine and being organized increases productivity. Employees with this trait simply get more done. Great, great. Now, if you're like me, my desk is a mess, but I know where everything's at. I know what I'm looking for. I know what I've left on my desk. And I'm not talking about my work desk. I'm talking about my home desk. Because it's kind of where everything comes in. You know, this podcast, the other podcast I do, my daily briefings, my Alexa daily briefings, videos, my daily videos that I do. And then all the other writing, the book writing, the storytelling, everything else I do. So it all kind of comes crashing down in one spot. So there has to be a focal point of mess. But keeping your life organized, see, but that's why I keep my work desk clear. Every day it's clear. Sure, there might be a couple little post-its here and there, but that's it. For the most part, I work to keep it clear. So the organization out there, where I do my video filming, I keep it as sanitized as much as possible. Why? Because I need to be able to go in, sit down, fire up the video, and it's done. And I don't have to worry about it. Where did I leave the notes? I know exactly where the notes go. I know exactly where the cables go. I know exactly which power switches I need to flip on. Because again, all of that's organized. So you see what's going on. You got to maintain some sense of order somewhere. The next factor is teamwork and cooperation. Quote, part of having a strong work ethic is understanding that you are part of a bigger team and that everyone has a role. Exactly. Understand that. Understand that you're part of a bigger team. It just doesn't all revolve around you. The sun does not rise and set around you. It doesn't matter how long you've been there, whether you're tenured staff or you're a new hire. The sun does not revolve and set around you. It doesn't. Because if it did, then there would be no need for other employees. There'd be no need for a team. It'd be all on you. So think about that. Cooperation. Determination to succeed. Determined to succeed. Those with a strong work ethic have an internal motivation to succeed. Folks, that is true. The more you do, the more you deliver, the more you start seeing, hey, look, this is what I can do, and here's where we're going. Consistent and high quality work. Folks, you never sell yourself short. Everything you do is 100%, not 110%. And again, you know where I stand on 110%. If you had that 10% extra to give, you were never giving 100%. So it stops at 100%. It's all or nothing. Either you give all or you're not giving your all. It's that simple. There's no middle ground with this. There's no 105%. There's only 100%. Now, sure, you see it in movies. You see it in, you read about it in books. You read about it and you hear about it. But typically, they're talking about machines. See, because machines are built to have a tolerance level at 100%. And they also have a safety level that if needed, they can work just a little extra hard, but not for too long because they will break down. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Hunt for Red October. I don't know what it is. It's a submarine, and the nuclear-powered silent submarine that the Soviets, this is back in the Cold War, that the Soviets launched. And in that submarine, the reactor was running at a high at 105%. 105%. It only ran for so long before it broke. There was no nuclear leak or anything at that point. But the machine stopped functioning because it couldn't work at that tolerance, at that high level. It only worked for so long. So it was supposed to be used for emergencies only, that little extra 5% or 10% that it was built into it. But it won't sustain for so long. Eventually things happen. The gears start to dry up. The grease starts to dry up because it starts flying off because it's spinning so fast. Heat is built, and that causes metal to bend. So that's just one example. And it happens. It happens. So understand that when you succeed is because you're giving 100% and you're doing it all the time. You're not doing anything else but delivering 100%. Whatever you do, wherever you are. Same thing with the quality work. The high standards of professionalism. You deliver that. So remain professional through all of this. And see what happens. See how things go. See what you can deliver. So again, remember to always behave professionally. Remain organized. Consider cooperation and teamwork. That's part of the deal. And to be determined to be successful. Even if you see everyone else around you not, everyone else is just going with the flow, you have to rise above that crowd. And always deliver consistent and high quality work. Never sell yourself short. Always be delivering 100%. And folks, that work ethic is hard work. That's all it means. It's hard work, it's virtuous, but it's worthy of reward. So now I see where that comes from. So do it. Take your career seriously. Take that job interview seriously and know to recognize that when they ask about work-life balance, they're talking about your work ethic. It's just that simple. Because they can also say, tell us about your work ethic. And they're talking about work-life balance because they're all almost synonymous. So let's wrap this up. Well, I think I just did. So I thank you for listening. You've been listening to episode 138, part 9 of Learning Those Soft Skills. And this has been all about work ethic. And I hope I conveyed enough to get you start thinking and get you to get the little wheels going and get you figuring out, hey, am I delivering what I need to? Am I always professional? Am I delivering the product? Am I being cooperative? Am I recognizing I am part of a team? Folks, I do invite you to email me, dave@davegera.com. As always, on Twitter, you can follow me at Dave Guerra, the little at symbol, and then Dave Guerra, all one word, DaveGuerra, all one word. And of course, follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDavidGuerra. And of course, all of these links are available on my website, DaveGuerra.com, where you're listening to this podcast. They're in the show notes page. And again, look for episode 138. I thank you for taking the time to download and listen to episode 138, and join me next week as I talk about time management as a soft skill. Time management as a soft skill. So until then, have a great week, and we'll talk to you very soon.